The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It is me, Matt Slick. Oh, boy. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, and we'll see if we can figure out what's going on with the video, because I'm trying to go live here, and something's wrong with the camera. And we'll figure it out here in a little bit. But, hey, look, folks, if you want to give me a call, I am looking forward to hearing you and hearing what you got to say. So again, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. So why don't we just jump on the lines here? Let's talk to Mark from Florida. Hey, Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
I had a question about a caller called in, I think, the day prior about, or maybe was it Friday, about a depraved mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about doing a paper on that. And I had a question about that in particular. Mm-hmm. It's a two-part question. Part one is there a way to identify these people or person? And the second part is there a point in which you should stop evangelizing because it might be pointless? And
yeah,
I don't know if that's a legitimate question
for
the second part.
Okay. Yeah, it is. And we can't identify them, and we can't identify them because we don't know who they are. They're not elect or not elect, given over. Our job is to do the best we can to witness to people. And what happens a lot of times is that we just have to recognize there's a time when we say, I don't know, and you don't seem to be listening, and I've tried, and it's subjective, and you just say, I'm done. I'm just done with you. And I think there's a legitimate case for that. I do. And when does that happen? Good question. I think it's something we just do when we do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm running into a situation where I tried countless times to open doors, and mm-hmm. just they get slammed shut back on me, and I'm wondering if I'm just wasting my time or not, because the stubbornness, the arrogance is just through the roof. It's beyond logic.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And so more and more, when I face that kind of a thing, what I do is I just preach the gospel. I just say, this is what the gospel is. This is what's going on. You need to believe in the gospel. And, you know, they'll reject it. But the gospel is powerful. You know, Romans 1:16 is the power of God is salvation for all who would believe. And so what we need to do is just trust God. We need to trust him and do the best we can.
Okay.
And when we don't know, we just don't know. And that's okay.
All right. Well, I'll trust that whatever I say, maybe it's a seed that gets planted, and later on, maybe something will happen to shake that person up. But it's right now, it's like talking to a wall.
Yes. yes, it is. Uh-huh.
It's really bad, and I'm beginning to kind of see what that means. So, anyway, thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate
it. You're welcome. Yeah, it's a toughie. It is. It's a tough one. All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. Keep calling. That was Mark from Florida. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Alberto from Georgia, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. I got a question. You know, I know you believe in eternal security, and I do.
Yes.
Right? And the Bible says that Christ died for our past, present, and future sin. Now, in the Bible says also, he who practices sin shall not enter the kingdom of God. Now, if a proper believer accepts Christ, and he's eternally secure.
Mm-hmm.
And but what about he starts practicing sin? Is he still eternally secure? And also,
well, wait a minute. Wait.
People say, well,
let's go one thing at a time. You're saying, here's the question: can a circle be round? And the answer, well, no, it doesn't make any sense. Well, we have to ask the question: can someone who's regenerate just abide in sin? And the answer is, well, no. because they're saved, they are also regenerate. A lot of people forget this. When they argue this issue of eternal security, well, that means you can just go out and sin, and you'll still be saved, as though they're not saved and not regenerate. And it's a critical error that people make when they attack that doctrine. Oh, that means you're still depraved in your mind, you can just go do evil, right? And you're still saved. That's not what we're saying. That's not what the position says. The position says that once you're regenerate, God has declared you righteous, you are saved permanently, and that you can't lose your salvation because of the faithfulness of Christ. It does not mean that we're not regenerate. It does not mean that we don't sin, but we don't abide in that sin and seek all that sin. We struggle with it. That's the reality of the position. So when people ask that question, oh, you can sin all you want, right? You can just go out and sin, and doesn't mean you still go to heaven. They don't understand what they're criticizing, and it's in their ignorance, and they need to repent of that. Okay?
So, like the late great apologist, he fell, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So some people say, he was never saved, or was he saved? He had been practicing for years.
Well, you know, the Bible says, 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. So we don't know who's really saved. There could be people who think they're saved and they're not, and that's certainly possible.
Mm-hmm.
And when I find out about people who say, oh, I was a Christian for 20 years, I believed and I preached Jesus and everything and all this stuff, and I say, well, what caused you to leave? Oh, I had problems with the Bible. Really? What kind of problems? And then the reason they give me are stupid. They're just, but we have answers for that, and they don't seem to care. And what it's showing is that they are just lost. They're just lost.
Because mm-hmm. Some people say, well, if you don't repent from your sin, but repentance just restores your fellowship, and repentance doesn't prevent you from losing your salvation, or doesn't restore it, it just restores your fellowship. So my question is too, if a person is practicing sin, when do you fall in the category of what we call practicing sin? Is it every 3 weeks, every 2 months, or every year,
right?
The same sin? I mean, how do we know when you're falling, actually practicing sin? How do you determine the pattern practicing sin?
Well, that's a good question, because we don't want to practice sin. We want to remove ourselves from it, and that's the whole obligation we're supposed to be doing. So, how do you tell? But, well, you watch their orthodoxy and orthopraxy. You watch what they say and watch what they do.
For example, like people say, well, people justify, well, I got an addiction of smoking cigarettes, and they'll be buying cigarettes year after year, year after year, and people justify it, oh, I got an addiction, you guys. Well, I can justify having sex year after year, year after year. I got to say, well, I got an addiction too. So, I mean, or I can kill people year after year because I got an addiction of murdering people. So, I mean, how do you determine really to justify a habit or addiction? I mean, because
I'm not sure what you're asking. I'm not sure what you're asking. You're kind of saying different things
at
the same time.
People justify, okay, he has an addiction, because a chemical addiction. People kind of put like a slap in the wrist on it. But yeah, if somebody does something else, start to say, oh, you going to hell. We justify certain things and condemn other things, even though they're both practicing.
Okay, there's inconsistencies.
Over and over and over and over.
Yeah, there are inconsistencies. That's right. There are among people. That's why the cure is a good doctrine, a good understanding of doctrine, but, you know, just not being taught that much. Okay? All right?
Mm-hmm. All right,
buddy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Alberto. God bless. Thanks. All right, folks, 3 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Rick from California. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Nice to speak with you.
Nice speaking with you. So what's up?
Matt, I have a question about Christian etiquette.
Okay.
I've made some friends recently with some Lutherans and Calvinists.
Okay.
And so I've been reading about Calvinism and Lutheranism.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems at times that my friends seem to contradict the founders of their denomination.
Sometimes,
and I wonder, am I supposed to say something or just let it go?
Well, let it go. You see, because just because Luther's, you know, founded what they call Lutheranism and Calvin founded Calvinism, adherence to those general areas doesn't mean that the people have to believe every single thing that the, so to speak, founders said. Okay, it's just.
So would you say then there's no essentials to these sects then? Like Christianity has essentials that you have to adhere to be called a Christian. But I guess what you might be saying is there isn't such a thing like in Lutheranism, perhaps.
No. There's certain things that is common with Lutheranism. And we want to, you know, say, you know, like you can lose your salvation, but not very easily. You hold to generally the doctrines that Luther taught in his particulars. And you know, with Reformed theology or Calvinism, it's a 5 points, where Lutheranism don't hold all the 5 points. So it just depends, you know, it just depends with particulars. But they all hold to the essentials of the Christian faith. That's the idea.
Well, here, maybe you can clarify it this way. In order to be a Christian, I have to believe Jesus is God.
Yes.
If I deny that, I'm not a Christian.
Correct.
If I'm a Calvinist, I have to believe everything about me has been touched by sin.
Well, Lutherans believe that too, and Christians should believe, all Christians should believe that everything they do has been touched by sin. That's just biblical theology, absolutely.
But if you don't agree to that, can someone call you not a Calvinist?
Yeah. It's one of the tenets of Reformed theology is that teaching, is that doctrine, that we are touched by sin in all of what we are, and that we're not as bad as we can be, but we are sinful in all areas. Yep.
Okay, so when they contradict their essentials, I should just keep my mouth quiet. It's not the same as when they're contradicting Jesus.
Right, they contradict Jesus, that's an issue. Okay, that's an issue. But yes. If they, you know, like, you know, I hold to Reformed theology, but I don't believe everything Calvin said. No big deal. Okay. Are you there? Hello? I think we lost you. So there you're back. But no, we don't have to adhere to every single thing that the so-called founders believed in. In that we should in Christianity, in the doctrines revealed in Scripture, but not necessarily from those people who've taught those certain things. You know, like Luther, Calvin, Zwingli. You know, Herod.
So, for example, John Luther said no abortion under. Martin Luther said no abortion under any circumstance.
Okay.
So a Lutheran can say, if the woman's raped, it's okay.
There's different Lutheran groups, too. And I don't believe that under that circumstance, I don't believe that abortion is warranted. And I don't, because the Bible says, don't kill the unborn, defend the helpless. You know, Isaiah 1:17. And it's not the child's fault that he or she is the product of that that event, and so they should not be killed for that. But see,
I met a Lutheran woman, and she said if the mother was going to die, it's okay. But Martin Luther said the mother is to die.
Well, okay, that's something that's debatable in both sides. Okay, buddy, we got a break, so we're going to
move. Okay, thank you.
All right, Rick, God bless. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Give me a call.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's jump on the phones with Carl from Orlando. Hey, Carl, well, we tried to get in English. Carl, welcome, you're on the air. All right, man.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Well, man, doing okay, hanging in there. Can't get my camera to work on our video feed, but we'll work on it later. So what do you got, buddy?
So me and my friend had a discussion about how Jesus, his death, he died.
Mm-hmm.
My friend believed that Jesus was, he died on the tree, He was hung on a tree, so he died on a tree. He was murdered on a tree.
A tree, not a cross. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the tree, not a cross. He used that Acts 5:30 verse.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version, because he only used King James Version. He says that's the only true version.
He's wrong about that. But yeah, when people do that, when they start going with the King James, it causes problems.
I don't mean to cut you off, but what is Acts 5:30? What is it implying, though? Because he used that verse.
The Greek word is xulon. Okay, and it occurs 20 times in the New Testament. And I'm looking on my Bible program where I can take the Greek word, the number, and I can put it in, and I can find every instance. And it's rendered as, for example, a large crowd with swords and clubs who came to the chief priest. That's the word xulon. And another one with clubs. And another one with clubs. And another one. And yet another one. For do these things when the tree is green. That's the same word. And it's the word cross in Acts 5:30, at least in the ESB. So it can also, and it says wood, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. That's the word wood. So the reason it's called tree, and it says a river, there's a tree of life in Revelation 22:2. That's also used, that Greek word. So the word has what's called a semantic domain. It means that it occurs in different contexts and has different meanings. And so when we look at Acts 5:30, all of history says, no, he was crucified on a crucifixion cross, Roman style. And a tree has a single trunk that branches that go out left and right. And that's why it's metaphorically called, the cross is called a tree, because it was just like that. Sometimes they would crucify people on trees. But no, this was a cross. Now, have him think just for a minute. Ask him. Did Jesus carry the crossbeam with him? And then he fell down, and then Simon of Cyrene was brought in to carry it the rest of the way. And the answer has to be, well, yes. Well, then, if it was a tree, how could he carry, what, he carried the branches? A tree trunk? What was it? And so, have him answer that. And if he says, well, it carried a crossbeam, and then it was lifted up inside of a tree, it you know, it's like, dude, you don't have all your paws in the litter box, buddy. So you can just use that argument. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Got it?
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right. Let's get to Dave from Salt Lake City. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. So I've been listening to you for a while, and I appreciate your ministry.
Thanks,
the only thing that I'm trying to understand, so other Christian apologists I've heard teach on end times doctrine. Mm-hmm. I know you've talked many times about the passage in, I believe it's Matthew, where one's taken, one's left, right?
Yeah, Matthew 22.
It's the wicked, not the saved.
That's correct. Okay? Yep, that's correct.
So how do we reconcile that with, first of all, like if I think of, I believe it's Jeremiah 10:11, how the Lord has a plan and a hope, a future for us. I'm not saying that.
Wait, slow down. You went to Jeremiah 29:11, and then you disinterpreted it.
Right.
Then you just interpreted it and kept going. But you see, people go to that verse and they'll say, well, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you. He's talking to Christians, right? Is that correct? In Jeremiah?
Am I talking to Christians in that case, or Jeremiah?
Is that about Christians? Is the Lord talking to Christians?
I would say yes, but I could be
no,
wrong.
No, he's not.
I'm open to, that's why I'm asking. Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. So
he's not.
That.
Yeah. And
Wait. Okay, go ahead.
One thing at a time. I need to teach this because people take it out of context so many times. They don't read the context. Okay. That's why so many people have problems with stuff when they take verses out of context. He's writing to the exiles. He's talking about the people who are Jews who have been scattered and are exiled. and they have are outside of Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years has been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Now, the reason they were exiled is because Israel, for basically 490 years, had robbed God of the rest of the land, R-E-S-T, the rest. That they had, what they had done is not given the land its seventh year rest. And so God exiled them for 490 years so that it had its 70 years, so it had its time of rest accumulated. Then when it came back, that's the context. Then God says to those exiles, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And so people take this and they quote it to say, this is what Jesus, this is what God has for you, dear Christian. Really? I mean, I hear a ripping sound when I hear that verse quoted like that. It's taken out of context. And we know from Philippians 1:29, not that we use Scripture to contradict Scripture, but, you know, if God has good plans, why does it say that God grants that we suffer? In Philippians 1:29. So people take things out of context, they don't balance them with other Scriptures, and we have exegetical problems because of it. Okay, what's the next thing
you want to say? Okay, so I appreciate your correction on that. So what I started to go on to say is exactly what you're referring to, that understand that the Bible teaches that we will experience various trials.
Wait, you know, stop for a second, because there, I'm hearing clicking sounds or some sound that's it's blotting out your words, and I can't hear what you're saying, and so I don't know what you're saying.
Let me take myself off. Okay. I'm sorry. Here, is that better, sir?
I guess so. We'll find out. Go ahead, try it again.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry, I'm driving and was on speakerphone. So.
Okay.
So, I guess, when I look at like end times, if the church is still here during tribulation period,
it will be,
as opposed to being raptured before mm-hmm. the start of mm-hmm. tribulation. That like when I read Revelation again, I'm looking for correction and understanding here. I'm not questioning that you're wrong and I'm right. Okay,
it's okay. Yeah.
Why, like whether it's chapter, I believe it's after chapter 4, is it Revelation I've had. Heard other pastors say that the church is not mentioned and that we're clearly raptured by that point.
Yeah, so, I would love to debate them on that. It's a mistake to say that, because they assume that Revelation is purely chronological, and it's a very symbolic book, and I'll use that logic against them with another doctrine. So I'll tell you after the break what that logic is. All right, hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages, talking to Dave from Salt Lake City. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with David from Salt Lake City. Dave, you still there?
Yeah.
Dave. That's Dave's safe. Not there.
Yeah. Can you hear
you
me
are?
Okay? No, I'm
okay.
Still here. Yeah,
okay.
Sir. Sorry, maybe a delay.
Okay, so when pastors say that Revelation doesn't have the mention of the church, for one thing, it's not true, and the 24 elders are considered to be the church, and that's later on. So that's just a bad exegetical thing to say. It's not here anymore because it's not mentioned. It's bad. Also, Revelation doesn't contain any teaching about justification by faith, sanctification, or imputation. So wait a minute. If the church isn't there because it's not mentioned, I guess, is justification not there because it isn't mentioned also? Does something have to cover a particular issue in order for it to be said to be there? It just doesn't make any sense. Their arguments are not good arguments. They should not do that.
Okay.
They should not do that. Okay.
So, So based on everything you've read and studied, that you definitely believe that we will go through this period of tribulation.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So
in fact,
when
let me,
it talks about that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to tell you.
When it talks about the days will be, like if they were not shortened, no lives would be spared. So
Matthew 24:24, yes. Or is it 24:13?
The go through.
Yeah, it's 20 dirhams at the end.
I'm not saying it's not true. It's just.
Here, I'll show you something that, that'll mess you up a little bit, and I want people to hear this.
Okay.
All right? I'm going to quote you a little bit. So there's Matthew 24 and Luke 17 are parallel accounts of this phrase. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man, for they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came in. In Matthew 24, it says, the flood came and took them all away. In Luke 17, it says, the flood came and destroyed them all. So the ones who were giving in marriage, being taken, all this stuff, are the wicked. Notice what it says, because it says, the flood came and took them all away, the flood came and destroyed them all. So the ones who were taken are the wicked. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they're giving in marriage. So the day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came in, took them all away. Two men will be in the field, one is taken, one is left. The context is the wicked who are taken. All you got to do is read the context. I've done this for years and years. Not a single person has ever rejected it once they've looked at it. Everybody says, that's what it says. When they really look at it, okay? Now, in Luke 17, they ask Jesus, where are they taken? And he tells them. They said, in answering, he said, where, Lord? And he says, where the body is, there also the vultures will be gathered. That's where he says they're taken to. Now, why is it that pastors all over America are preaching out of Matthew 24, Luke 17, these verses and saying it's a rapture when it is not the rapture? I'll debate anybody on this one. It's not the rapture. Now, the rapture is mentioned, but that's 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through chapter 5, verse 2. And also in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 45, the rapture is mentioned. A twinkling of an eye will all be caught up and stuff like that. But these verses are not rapture verses. They're the wicked who are taken. Now, again, I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to show you something else. Why is it that pastors are getting this wrong year after year after year after year? What is it that they're not doing that they would continue to make that mistake? They're not studying contextually, and it's a serious problem. Because they just too many pastors are just believing, you know, it's some status quo, and you just move on. You don't do that. Now, I'm going to show you something else. This is the Matthew 13. This is when the parable, Jesus gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. And he sowed, the landowner sowed wheat, and the enemy came and sowed tares. And it says, should we gather up the tares and destroy it? And Jesus says, nope, lest you may uproot the wheat with them. Matthew 13:30. Allow both to go together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. So who's the first ones taken at the end of the age? And I'll explain why today. The wicked.
Oh,
that's what it says.
Yep.
Now, when they ask him to explain the parable, he says the end. This is like 10 verses later in Matthew 13. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they'll gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. So what Jesus is saying is that his kingdom is now. People say, well, wait a minute. If the kingdom's now, then doesn't Satan have to be bound? Yes, he does. And he was bound in Matthew 12, 22 through 32, when Jesus said he cast out demons, and the Pharisee says, you're doing it by the power of the devil, and he says, Satan's going to be bound in order for me to do this. And he was doing it, so therefore Satan's bound. So since Satan's bound, this is what's interesting, is that what we have a position taught by so many churches across the country is that this is Satan's kingdom, and what we need to do is escape Satan's kingdom. So we're going to get out of here pre-trib rapture. But that's the opposite of what the scripture teaches. We're in God's kingdom now, and it's the wicked who are going to be taken out of it. And if we are the ones who are going to stay here and be through it, then we Christians ought to be all the more active in working to preach and teach that gospel and submit all things to the Lordship of Jesus Christ instead of sitting down and waiting for the rapture to take us out of here because we go, I don't like it. I want to go away. Okay?
Absolutely. So, yeah. Again, I appreciate your teaching. Do you have, like, because I've heard you walk through this before, and it made a lot of sense, and again, it makes a lot of sense today. I think I needed to hear you walk through it again.
Mm-hmm.
And you added some detail today that I hadn't heard before, so I appreciate that. Is this on, like, are you on, okay, you mentioned you're not on YouTube, because, is that right? Because
no, I am.
I want you to say.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube.
Okay. So
and,
could I, like,
but we're,
show this fact, to my wife, for example? Or?
Yeah, you can do that. The it's on, you can just go to, let's see. You can go to YouTube.
Website,
you can, okay, I'm thinking out loud here, but you can go to Matt Slick YouTube. And
okay.
You'll see this recorded there. It's also on Karm YouTube, and it's also on Odyssey. So we're moving everything over to Odyssey because we've got some persecutors and people who don't like what we say and don't want free speech. And so they're moving us off. And that's fine because God's just using unbelievers to prepare us for what's coming. And so we're moving over to Odyssey where there's free speech. So I recommend, like a plug for this, everybody go to Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com, Odyssey. Sign up for Odyssey, do a search for Karm, and just follow us, and you'll get notified when we're on the air. We put more videos up. Okay?
Awesome. I will check that out. And just a quick one on COVID. I appreciate all the work you've done on that. I'm a health educator and have an exercise science background, and I love that somebody's talking truth on this whole pandemic issue. Because
there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of lies.
Indeed, there is.
Right? In fact,
I mean, we know just vitamin D deficiency alone has been highly linked to. But why aren't they beating that drum? Why is there no prevention talked about?
It's easy because they're using COVID.
Purpose, right?
They're using COVID as a means of social control. You got to wear your masks.
I
just released an article about this.
Yeah, no question.
Masks are control markers, and they are basically useless. And we shouldn't be wearing them. You don't have to shut down the economy. And COVID deaths number 13,000. COVID vaccine-related deaths, 13,000. After they've been vaccinated, 13,000, the CDC says. And yet all vaccines combined, except for COVID, from 1968 up to now, is just over 9,000. There's a lot. In fact, I'm looking at a title right now. CDC says, no record of natural immune transmission of COVID-19 virus. There's no record. I'm going to verify that that's the case and work up on it and put it up as an article as well on Karm, because I'm getting attacked from different angles. People say, you know, you're lying, you're presenting misinformation. But do the same people go after Fauci for his so-called misinformation, or CNN or MSNBC for their so-called misinformation and their lies? It's always after the conservatives, only the conservatives. That's right.
Another issue, we know natural immunity is more effective than vaccines, so why hasn't antibody testing been done on the rampant left, right? So, again, it doesn't fit their agenda. It
doesn't fit their agenda.
You're bringing out the truth in multiple areas, and I appreciate your work. So,
and there's more coming. I have a couple hundred, another 120 emails to go through from people who've sent me stuff. And I'm working on another article on COVID, several articles, and also one, and this is for everybody who wants to. You can send me things related to this topic, the decline and fall of the of Western civilization. And what I'm doing is collecting notes and news outlet things like a young man was banned from football because he said he believed there's only two genders while he was away from high school, and they banned him for it.
Wow.
This idiocy, stupidity. The left are morons, the far left.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, we got to go. All right, buddy. Okay,
thank
God
you.
Bless. All right, folks. Whoa, one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's just jump back on the line. Kevin from North Carolina, we lost. And let's get over to Kim from North Carolina. Kim, welcome. You're on the air. Kim.
Thank you, Matt. My question is, should believers pray for other believers for healing, but that particular person wants to go home and be with the Lord?
Well, then just pray simply. Just pray, Lord, your will be done. I'd like to see this person healed and delivered, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Simple.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if they want to go to glory or whatever, you just still pray for them to be healed.
Yeah, I would pray for them to be healed, but sometimes that healing might be deliverance into the presence of Christ. And so, just, you know, Lord, I'd like to see them healed, but Lord, you know, if it's their time to go be with you, then praise God, you know, then deliver them quickly. No big deal, okay?
Okay, so let's just say they don't want to be healed, but it's not their time to go to the Lord. He will heal them just to bring them back to fulfill their purpose.
Maybe. You just pray and ask God for His will. Say what you basically think is a good idea, what you think is the right thing to pray, but you say, Lord, I just submit that to you. May your will be done, not mine. It's real simple. Okay? Like my wife and I, when we lost Jacob, our son, we asked God to heal him. And He did. He took him home. We said, not our will, but your will be done. We prayed, Lord, if you'd like to let him stay with us. We didn't have a birth defect. It would probably kill him when he was born. And it did. And we asked God to deliver. We asked God to heal him. And we said, but nevertheless, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. That was
okay,
it.
Okay, one other question.
Okay.
It says in Scripture that we will be as angels when we get to heaven. So do you think you know your son when you get there? Or will you have some type of relationship with him when you get there?
I believe so, yeah. I don't know what that would be. I just believe we'll see him. And I've had that confidence ever since we lost him 27 years ago. Okay?
So when the Bible says you get a new name when you get to heaven, wouldn't that mean you get a new identity too?
Well, not necessarily. A name has to do with who you are, what God's called you to do, and things like that. New identity. No, we're still who we are. Our identity doesn't change. Okay? We got other callers, buddy, so we're going to get going. All right, man?
Thank you, man.
All right, buddy. God bless. All right, let's get to Paul from Virginia. Paul, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello there. Thank you.
Sure. What do you got? Are you there?
My question is if you have had a chance, you know, some weeks ago I told you about the book COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey by Dr. Peter Breggin.
Yes, I have it. I haven't gone through it yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'd like people to do is say, hey, here's this book, here are these pages, read these pages, because people want me to read entire books, and it takes a long time because I have so much I'm doing. And during the breaks of the radio show, I'm writing. Okay? So there's just a lot.
Exactly. So I have been sitting here in my car reading it as I was waiting for my turn in line. And there are 500 and some pages in this book, and I was reading chapter 32, I believe it is, page 463.
Okay.
But I mean, the whole book is just spellbinding, and I am very alarmed by what I read in this book. Only as an American, but also as a follower of Christ, I can't believe this has happened.
Oh, there's a lot, and I don't want to depress the jeebers out of people, but it's going to get worse. It's just going to get worse.
Yes, I imagine that.
Okay.
I'm 60 years old now, and I don't look for it to get better.
Well, my opinion, here's a
pessimism. I just want to say that I'm hearing more and more people are being injured by these shots, and that I know myself, I got the third one, and I have not been the same since September 27th. I have been to about 13 doctors.
Yep.
And it caused high blood pressure and just on and on and on. I won't go into it all right now. I'll let you go on to the next call.
Oh, yeah.
But
yep.
I really would like to, I'll email you or something like that.
Sure.
I can't believe this is happening. So.
It is happening. It's going to get worse.
I wish I hadn't got the third shot. What's that?
Well, you know, just, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but there are recommendations on the web about certain things that can help.
Yes, people. And I've talked to a number of people, like in just situations that have popped up on business calls and things like that of a nature. Some people are doing fine with them. Other people, this lady at a floral shop today was telling me that she knows of a teacher in her early 40s who didn't want to take it, but she was under contract, so the school wouldn't let her.
This is oppression. Yeah, it reminds me of Nazi Germany. You can't buy or sell or, unless you have your papers. And
she got the third shot, and she's very ill now. She's autoimmune problems, and now she's in her early 40s and very sick.
Yeah, there's all kinds of accounts like that. Yep. And if you don't have, and this is what happens, the enemy, they'll say, if you don't have peer-reviewed proof, then don't give it because it's misinformation. They'll say that. But when you hear the stories across the board from people, I get contacted. I've heard doctors say things at conferences. Doctors have said, look, that people were in remission of this, this, and that. They get a vaccine, and boom, within 2 weeks, the stuff's back. Over across the board, it's happening. We're not allowed to say that kind of a thing because it doesn't fit the leftist agenda. Now, I'm not against vaccines, but I'm going to tell you, there's lots of problems. In fact, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, and Norway have banned and restricted some aspects of the Moderna vaccine because of the problems associated with it. Japan has found elements of metal and some other stuff in the Moderna vaccine. What's going on?
Yeah.
And why are we being forced to take it? Why the heavy force? Something just reeks in this. You know, it's a problem. The government, the thing I have is, why does the government open the borders and just let people come in? The present regime, the Brandon regime, says, oh, everybody has to have vaccines, and if you don't, you're an enemy, basically what they're saying, need to be prosecuted, and yet they open the borders up and let people come in without vaccinations, without masks. I don't get the inconsistency. And, you know, the government needs to stop. And they need to start upholding the Constitution. And the rhinos, I'm not a Democrat or a rhino or a Republican. I'm not. And
me either.
But they need to be cleaned out. We need to get rid of these wackos out of office. These people are killing our country. They're destroying our country with their socialist crap. And then they're using a good crisis to gain control.
Let me ask you one other thing, then, which I agree with everything you're saying. But, in order for the Antichrist and the Beast or the 666 or the World Control to take place, is this a precursor to that?
It could be, because think about it. You go into a place like a doctor's office, put your right hand, your wrist out for temperature, or your forehead. It's the same thing. The question is, are we being conditioned to submit to whatever the government tells us in order to buy and sell and take a mark on our forehead or our hand? Because we're being told more and more, when you go someplace, you have to have your forehead scanned or your right hand. Generally, they go right hand scanned. Ooh, it's scaring me.
Yes.
And so, you know, I tell people, well, I could tell you stuff. I should do an off-the-air thing sometime and open it up to everybody to come in and we can have some conversations. Because there's some stuff I haven't been able to tell people. Yeah. Maybe I'll do that. We'll see. Okay, buddy. We got callers. Okay? All right, man. God bless.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Let's get to Phil from Charlotte, North Carolina, whom we lost. Let's get over to Laura from Utah. Laura, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, not you. Oh, man.
Yeah. It's me.
It is you.
Thanks for the warm welcome.
Oh, man. Hey, everybody. This is Laura, and I know her, and she's great. She's helped out at CARM for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years now, I guess. I don't know. She's a great asset to CARM. Anyway, so... Well, now that I praised you up, now you owe me a sandwich. Okay, so what's up?
Hey, I said if you, I'd put in the job if you got your video work and I'd make you a sandwich. But, you know, you blew that, buddy.
I blew that one. Darn. Oh, man. Oh well.
Hey, I have got a new friend that I met. She came to our church. She's left Mormonism, and she is 13. So she's been over here all day, and we've been going through the Word.
All right.
And as we're going through, when you were talking about the end times, and her eyes just got really huge when you were talking about Satan being bound. And so she would like some answers on that. Her name is Tana, and
Hi, Tana.
I am going to have her talk to you.
All right. We got about 3 minutes. Okay. Hi, Tana.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't really have a question prepared. So,
you want to know about how Satan's bound? I can tell you.
Yes, how Satan's bound and the whole millennium thing.
Well, tell you what, because we only got a couple of minutes. Let me jump in, okay? Because we only have like a minute and a half. All right.
Okay.
So what you got to do is go to Matthew 12:22. So Matthew 1:2-2. Matthew 12:22, and start reading for 10 verses. They are saying, the Pharisees are saying that Jesus was casting out demons by the devil. And he says, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. In verse 28, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me. Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, but not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so that's what he's talking about there. So in 28 and 29, he's saying, you can't carry off the strong man's property unless he's first bound. And he's casting out demons, and that's the context. Casting them out, you can't do that unless the strong man's bound. And he's talking about the devil. You can read the context, Matthew 12:22-32. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
So what about the millennium that we always hear about in Mormonism?
In Mormonism, you know, the 1,000 years, and after the 1,000 years, then everybody basically goes to heaven, basically, except for the super bad. But the millennium, there's two main views, and three main, actually, I should say. Amill, which is that we're in the millennial reign of Christ now, and the millennium is a figurative period of time. Post-mill, which says that through the preaching of the gospel, the kingdom of God will come. And pre-mill says that the future has there's a future 1,000-year period of time, and we're out of time. But if you call back tomorrow, I can explain more of it slowly. Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. I'm glad you're out of Mormonism. All right. Well, God bless. Okay. Hey, folks, we're out of time. There's the music. May the Lord bless you greatly, and by His grace, back on here tomorrow. Hey, I'm finishing up tonight on Patreon. Patreon.com/Matt Slick. I'm finishing up on the Trinity. Hey, God bless. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.